Hello and welcome back to In Bed with Lucy Season 4, the raw and uncensored place where we're free to discuss the nitty-gritties of the adult industry. Everything I discuss is of my own opinion and does not reflect on the community at large, as everyone experiences sex work differently. This podcast is rated R18+ and may contain explicit language, make reference to sexual assault, drug and alcohol, self-harm, domestic violence, and other triggers not limited to the previous mention. If this doesn't fit, then kindly stop now. For everyone else, well, let's get this party started. Welcome back, fuckers. How the fuck have you been? I know, it's been 7 months since the last time I released a podcast, but what can I say? My life's been a fucking joke, so I've actually had to get my shit together to be able to even do this podcast now, so be grateful that I'm here with you. So sit down, shut the fuck up, and listen to what I have to say. If I was to get into specific detail about what's been occurring in the past 7 months, I will be here for 500 years. So rather than do that, let's move right into what we're going to talk about in this season. I think one of my biggest mistakes was actually recording this podcast during the day, because the amount of fucking background noise that I am paranoid is going to make it into this podcast is quite phenomenal. If you do hear cars revving in the background, or fucking trains going by, it is what it is. So anyway, let's move on to what I will be discussing in season 4 and what we will be, I guess, elaborating on from previous seasons, because I did have to listen back to my previous podcasts in order to refresh my memory in regards to what I actually spoke about. And I will be honest, in this short 7 months, a lot of my ideas and ideologies have actually changed. It comes to a point in one's life where you realize, yeah, you have one certain way of thinking, but you know, after certain shit goes down, you kind of end up changing those ideas. So I probably will be going back on some previous topics and discussing how I have evolved from those original thoughts. So let's start with my topic list. I think my next episode, I'm probably going to start with the police and personal security, along with, and this was a topic given by an Instagrammer, the reproductive rights and the people who make rules about people with uteruses and their bodies. So that will probably be my next topic that I do. Then I'm going to be starting out in the sex industry. And then I also got a subtopic from my Instagram poll for I'll do personal sacrifices one needs to make in order to be a sex worker. Then I'll be talking about the truth about clients and their expectations of you. Then my next topic will be relationships and sex work. Then I'll be talking about disability and sex work. Then I'll be doing another episode on touring. And of course, I will have my normal horror stories and horror stories as well. And I will be talking about how good and bad clients are at sex. That seemed to be a popular topic that was on my Facebook poll. I also have a few other subtopics that I'm going to throw in there as well, which is like red flags when looking for a brothel to work in, forms of sexual assault that people might not realize are sexual assault, like stealthing, poking holes in condoms. There are so many different subtopics to that. But I will be adding a few more topics last minute, because I always want to give myself room to be able to, if I come up with an idea, I want to be able to throw that topic in there, because I only do 13 episodes because that's my lucky number. And so you're going to have to deal with it. However, I did forget to mention, I will be also discussing the effects of sex work on one's personal life and relationships, but that will actually be in relationships and sex work. So I forgot to mention with the starting out in the sex industry one, I have so many subtopics to that I should have really elaborated, that it will be nothing like the previous podcasts that I've done about sex work and starting out. It's probably going to be my new, an add-on to that, because I generally don't really talk that long. So generally I keep my podcasts up to like 20 minutes. So I feel like I needed to elaborate on previous podcasts because there were so many other things that I didn't discuss that I really feel like I should have discussed, because a lot of people are going into this industry blindly. Even I went into this industry blindly and ended up in, you know, tricky situations where I ended up having to talk to family members about how to get out of these situations. So I kind of want to take this opportunity for a lot of people that have actually reached out to me and said, you know, all these other questions, I've actually written them all down, and I've thought to myself, I'm definitely going to put this in a podcast. So I'm going to answer a lot of random questions. I won't be telling you where they've come from, but I will be elaborating on what the most common asked questions are when people approach me about starting out in the sex industry and how to move forward from multiple forms of sex work, from camming, exotic dancing, brothel work, as well as evolving from digital sex work. Because there are multiple forms of sex work, a lot of people could probably debate me until they go blue in the face about what sex work is. But if you are selling sex in any form, even explicit images and things like that, these are all forms of sex work. That's my idea, and if you don't like it, I'm trying to give a fuck. And when I talk about horror stories and horror stories, they may not necessarily be completely associated with sex work, and they may not even be completely be associated with myself, but could actually be stories that I've actually have occurred in my time as a sex worker. And even with the horror stories as well, they will also be elaborated on other stories as well. I don't believe that I should clarify that, because I'm not going to expose anyone that's actually come forward to me in regards to, you know, certain issues. But having said that, in this podcast, I am going to talk about something that is really frustrating me and something that I feel like I have to address immediately in regards to security as a already established sex worker. Or even if you've just started out, I feel like I just want to kind of get a couple of things off my chest first before we move forward into the progression of this podcast. So an unfortunate trend that I've actually noticed in my time as a sex worker is that people, I'm very grateful that people feel comfortable in order to approach me about security breaches or problematic clients or dangerous situations and things like that. But theoretically speaking, there's only a great deal, and even practically thinking, there's only a certain amount of help and assistance that I can give you. Majority of the time, you actually do need to contact the police and you do actually need to move forward in that manner. But I do kind of want to say a couple of things to prevent, I guess, reaching to that point. So something that I noticed with a lot of people that actually approached me about having issues and quite serious stalking and assault claims against a client is that the first thing I ask is, what's their phone number? Who are they? And they can't even give me that information, which I'm not suggesting is a you problem. All I want to say is that from when I first started in the sex industry, one of the very first things that I personally did was I actually blocked private numbers on my phone, and I do not allow any form of people hiding their identity. For example, even if someone was to lie about their name, once they go through my booking process and I establish that their name is not of what they've given me, I won't see them, because that shows a lot of intent and that shows the will to be deceitful in the future. But I have noticed that a lot of people have approached me and told me that they don't have the phone number of the person stalking them, nor do they have the name. So one of the biggest things that I want to mention in this podcast is that you shouldn't really be accepting bookings from people that you don't have an identity check on. There is no such thing as secrets, or not such thing as secrets, but I'm sorry, but if I'm giving you access to my body and giving you access to my person, I need to know at least who you are, and I need to know some type of identifying factors for you. So one thing that I will recommend and suggest is that you don't accept bookings from private numbers, and that you do actually have private numbers blocked on your work phone in order to prevent anyone trying or attempting to communicate with you from a private number. I have had a lot of girls actually say to me, oh, I need to accept work from private numbers, otherwise I won't get any work. These are generally people that are just starting out in the industry. And to be honest with you, without being saying this in a bad context, a lot of people that are functioning at a high level, the reason why these private numbers contact you is because people that are functioning at a high level will not entertain even communicating with people like that. So just think of the type of person that you're allowing into your world if you think that you're not going to get any work if you don't answer private numbers. I highly suggest giving it a go, and you will get work regardless of whether you don't accept private numbers or not. It's not in your best interest to allow someone in your space without a private number. We have heard a lot of murders, even serious harm to a lot of workers that have actually put themselves in unknowing dangerous situations. And it's all because they feel as though they're not going to get work. One thing that I will say that I will discuss later in the future is give it time. Every business takes a while to start out. You're not going to go put your ad up and then overnight you become the world's sensation. Every single business takes time in order to establish. If you're judging the fact that you're not going to get any work by a week's of your first workflow, then you're not really giving yourself the room to be able to see whether you actually will get work. So that's just to kind of like touch on that and clarify on, I guess, people's aspects on how sex work should start out for you. However, setting that, you still can be abused or assaulted or even murdered by people that you have all the details for, but at least the police will still be able to find them very quickly. And even then, you could, even if you are harmed, you are able to move forward because you have an identity of this person, and you can even warn other people using the forums that we have in order to protect us as a group, because in the end of the day, there's no one out here to really protect you but yourself. You are your longest investment. So start treating yourself like a very valuable investment. Quickly apologizing for my alert tone going off just then, but I cannot switch my phone off at the moment or turn it on silent because I am waiting on some communications and things like that. So we'll just deal with that. Another thing that I want to bring up is the importance of accepting deposits for when you are accepting a new client. Now, it actually doesn't have anything to do with the fact of you think that the person is a time waster or whether they're not going to show up for the booking. It's actually about creating a paper trail of evidence in case something happens, which brings me back to this personal security, the immediate personal security of yourself. If you talk to a lot of well-established sex workers, you will actually realize that deposits is a industry standard. I don't really know a lot of girls that are running at a high function that would even entertain or communicate with a person without some kind of deposit. So I'll bring you into the types of deposits that you need to ensure that you're getting. Well, not ensure that you're getting, but I'll probably, it's easier to say what not to receive. So if someone goes to the effort into making a cash deposit with no identity, then that is a huge red flag. That is something that I personally see as being deceitful and also has intent. In this modern technology and in this world, there's a lot of things that have been put in places by banks and even financial institutions where they make it near impossible to do a cash deposit. I know with my bank, it doesn't matter if you're not actually with that institution. They want to cite your license and they also need to cite a card to be able to associate that cash deposit with. I have actually in the past received a deposit that literally just came up as a cash deposit. In my sense, I actually wouldn't see that person because I haven't got a good enough paper trail. Look, theoretically speaking, they've gone to the ATM. You've got a face picture because ATMs take photos, I think, a couple every second. And as well as they've got security cameras in banks if they were to walk into a bank and all that kind of stuff. But you need to make it even easier for the police to be able to find the offender that they're looking for. Because let's be honest, and we'll get into this topic later on, we are well aware of how corrupt the police force is, especially New South Wales police. In fact, it is so profound that even high departments of policing are well aware of it and will even inform victims not to speak to local police. That is one thing that I noticed was a huge red flag and was really like, I guess, a face slap to me, because knowing that these superiors are well aware of how dangerous the local and I guess lower ranking police officers are, is that they do not actively affect to try and help the citizens in which they actually took an oath to take care of. So if you're not making the job for the police officers easy, unfortunately, this is just the way that the policing system has been structured, and they are most likely to get away with your murder or assault or even permanently disabling you. So in my opinion, it is in your best interest in order to make sure that you have that deposit in order to be able to have that identity of that person. And I've also found that when someone knows that they've done a transfer or a cash deposit and they know that their identity is actually associated with, you know, them coming to see you, they are less likely to do things to harm you. If they were to have malicious intentions and if they were intending, because let's be real, there are people in this world that get off on hurting other people. Some people That's all they want to do. That's their kink. I've even had a client, which I think I may have previously discussed in previous podcasts, but I will actually get into the story of this particular person. He didn't give a fuck about sex. He just wanted to physically harm someone in the most severe and brutal way. And I know I've spoken to my friends about this, but, you know, these are experiences and life events that I could possibly tell you in order to prevent you being in the exact same situation as me. I have gone to the extent to make sure that this person was prosecuted. However, it doesn't stop them from going forward and doing anonymous bookings and also doing anonymous cash deposits in order to gain access to someone so they can hurt them again. You feel me? Okay, so having said everything that I have just said, I'm probably going to sound like a walking contradiction right now. But regardless of whether you know someone's identity and regardless of whether you have done all, you know, the deposit and made sure you knew who you're talking to, that doesn't mean that you're not still in harm's way. The amount of stories that I've heard either secondhand or firsthand about people that have been assaulted by regulars or have been assaulted by someone who has followed the standard procedure is still somewhat profound. You know what I mean? So it's not like just following those two minor steps is actually going to protect you. There are too many stories out there of people that have done all that and still been violently attacked. This has nothing to do with a client story, but I actually had an instance where a person who was methed up on ice was attempting to break into my property. However, the police acted really quickly, but when it went to court, the very first thing their defense team did was attack me for being a sex worker to discredit me and discredit me as a witness. The unfortunate thing that actually occurred was this person was actually let off. However, they were cautioned. The only reason they were let off was due to bad policing. It was due to the police not doing the right thing by me as a victim and being able to be able to get this person prosecuted and even jailed. So the very first thing they did was attack me for being a sex worker, and the judge knew exactly what was going on. I was actually asked to leave the courtroom whilst the judge actually did tell the lawyer and the barrister that they needed to check themselves and that discrediting me for being a sex worker will not fly in the court of law. However, he was, like I mentioned, let off because the police didn't do their job, and he was cautioned that if he does ever approach me again, that this case would actually come up to play in order to, I guess, further prosecute him in the future. So with my stories, I do want to mention, yeah, these can keep you safe, but they're not foolproof. You know, there are still sick fucking idiots out there that need serious head checks because all they want to do is to be able to violently attack a sex worker because they feel that you're of a lower standard, which is something that I'm going to discuss later on in this season. But right now I'm just dabbling in on it and I just wanted to kind of give you that information and kind of get that off my chest as well. But yeah, I've heard a lot of stories of people being attacked by people that have actually followed the procedure. I've heard of stories of people being attacked by people from private numbers. I've heard of stories of people being attacked by regulars. So in the end of the day, like I said, you are your longest investment. So start treating yourself like a very valuable investment. Go forward, do what you want with this information, and yeah, stay safe, babes. And on that note, I shall say arrivederci, goodbye. I hope you have a fantastic day, evening, morning, night, whatever it is the fuck that you're doing. I hope you enjoyed your stay. And if you didn't, go fuck yourself. I don't really care, but thanks for the fucking view. Don't forget to follow my Facebook page, or my Instagram, or my Twitter. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this on multiple occasions, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to my previous ones. I'm not fucking repeating myself.